Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Unexplainable happenings are seemingly never-ending all across the globe. Today, more subscribers sent in what they claim to be true, creepy experiences that they just cannot explain. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a story that you can't explain or something different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help this channel keep going. Anyways, without any further ado, let's get into these creepy stories that just can't seem to be explained. To start off, as a kid I used to pilfer through my granny's barn for toys, hidden treasures, and anything to satisfy my curious mind. On one of those excursions, I found a Sting doll. If you're not aware who Sting is, Sting was a wrestler back in the day. That said, that's not the point of the story. For a long time, nothing about the doll really creeped me out. It was just a cool-looking doll that I used as a giant that I stepped on my G.I. Joes with. I don't exactly remember when it happened, but one night I had an unprompted dream about the doll. In the dream, the doll flung itself from a container where my other toys were and walked in a strange fashion. Kind of like when you tie strings to your doll and use it as a makeshift puppet, but the movement was off and way exaggerated. It made its way toward me, shifting from one leg to another. It was terrifying. I ended up breaking the doll because of my fear of it. Another weird story from when I was in Florida, actually younger than from the story above. I had begged my dad for one of those porcelain jester dolls because I've always loved creepy things. It sat in my room for the longest time, upon my windowsill. But one day something strange happened. Now honestly, I can't remember it actually happening. I just remember grabbing the doll, running into the garage where my sister and friends were, taking a hammer and smashing the porcelain doll. They asked me what the heck I was doing. My response was that it winked at me. I honestly don't remember it winking at me, but maybe I blocked it out. I'm not entirely sure. These are a few of my creepy experiences I've gone through in my life. I hope you guys enjoy them, and thank you, Swamp, for sharing it on the show. This story starts back in my youth when I was about 8 or 9 years old. Me and my family of 5 moved around a lot during my youth, but there was one house that will always stand out in my memory, although I wish I could forget the experiences altogether. A little background on myself for the story. I was always afraid of the dark growing up. So much though, that I remember sleeping every night with my head completely covered by my covers just to make me feel safer. I also had one older brother, we'll call him Ben, who got off on torturing me every day until he finally moved out of my parents' home. So we moved into this house around the year 2005. The house was built around the turn of the century. If I had to guess, either the late 1910s or early 20s. It had a very old-style architecture, including giant sliding doors that could block off the living room from the entire house, and a very tall, dark, creepy cellar. There was a door to the cellar in the main hallway of the house that was locked from the outside with one of those heavy-duty master locks that you usually see on the outside of storage lockers. The stairs leading down to the cellar were in very poor shape, as well with all of them being different distances from each other, and some to an odd angle that made walking down them very sketchy, and nearly impossible in the dark. There was only one light in the cellar, the old kind you have to pull a string to turn on. In the very center of the room, I was always afraid of that room. I was never completely sure as to why. It just creeped me out, and I avoided going down there at all costs, even when I was asked to help my parents put furniture down there. My first experience in the house was on a school night that seemed just like any other night. I was sitting on the bar in my kitchen doing my homework when I heard my dad clearly call my name and ask me to come help him with something. It sounded like he was calling me from down in the basement. I walked over to the door, and it was open, but the lights were not on, so all I could see were a few steps down, and then nothing but pure darkness. Something about it just didn't feel right to me. Like an ominous feeling of dread just told me not to dare to step into that cellar. I instead ran upstairs to my parents' room and found my mother. I immediately told her about what I heard and asked why Dad would be in the basement without the lights. Her response was that I was just hearing things because my dad was a truck driver and Dad had already left for work about an hour ago. She went to check the cellar, but when we got down there, it was shut and locked from the outside. I suppose I just told myself at the time that it was probably just my brother trying to scare me. But then again, his voice sounds nothing like my dad, as my dad has a very distinct loud voice that I could pick out in the crowd a mile away. Also, the only key to the basement was always in my dad's wallet. I tried just to forget all about it though, thinking it had to be my brother, because that's the only logical reason I could have seen and heard at the time. I remember nights when I, both my brothers, and my mother were in the living room watching TV with those giant sliding glass doors shut to keep the room warm. After around 8 o'clock at night, we would always hear what sounded like footsteps coming from above us, but only when the sliding glass doors were completely closed. Mind you, the room above the living room was my bedroom. My mom would always say, "Oh, it's just a really old house, it just creaks and groans, it's nothing." But we've always lived in old houses, and I know what creaks and groans sound like, and this was not that. Every night that I went to sleep in that house, I usually always had nightmares, and I had to fall asleep with my TV on just so I wouldn't be in the darkness. Also, it was on one of those old tube TVs with a glass screen. Those TVs were not like the new ones that have a shut-off feature that turns the TV on after no activity for a few hours. It would just stay on all night until you turn it off by pressing the power button on the TV itself. The second experience that happened was 1 week after the first. I woke up one night and my TV was lit up with just a white static screen that illuminated my whole room. I thought I heard something that sounded like a whisper coming from the corner of my room, but it also sounded like it was above me. Then, all of a sudden, as I looked to the spot, I saw what appeared to be a black shadow the size of a basketball in the top corner of my room. Then, all of a sudden, my TV clicked off seemingly all by itself. Then the next thing I hear is a much louder whisper that clearly sounded like my name. Reese. I immediately screamed, and next thing I know, my mom runs into the room, turns the lights on, and it's as if the present just disappears. I tried to tell her what happened, through the tears and hysteria. After listening to my story, she told me not to worry and that it was just a nightmare, although there was a little quiver in her voice at this point, and I could tell she probably knew I wasn't dreaming this and just didn't know what else to tell me. The third and most terrifying experience happened about a month or so after the second. I had just fallen asleep when I was suddenly woken up. As I just lay there, I felt as though I was being watched, though I didn't know by what. Then, all of a sudden, I jerked my head to look towards my door, and not 1 second after I do, the door slams open. Standing in the doorway is a figure like you would see in a horror movie. A tall female figure in a white nightgown, with black hair covering her face. I was so scared I couldn't even scream. All I could do was hide in my covers and hope it would go away. I probably laid there for more than an hour, finally looking at the door only to find it shut again. I eventually passed out from the exhaustion and then proceeded to have the most frightening and vivid dream I've ever had. Then all of a sudden I woke up panting and sweating in a completely black room. As my eyes adjusted, I could finally make out one little bit of light in the room, and my blood ran cold. I was laying on the floor of the cellar. I immediately found the stairs to my right and ran up them as fast as possible without tripping and tried to open the door, but it was locked. I began screaming bloody murder and beating the door until it finally heard my dad on the other side and heard him undo the lock and open the door for me. My parents and I never could make sense of what happened that night. There was no way I could have somehow sleepwalked down two sets of stairs, especially the crooked and warped cellar stairs, without falling. Plus, how could I have locked myself in? It could only be locked from outside. Not even my brother would do something this awful to me either. Also, how could my brother put me down there and lock me in if he never knew the key was, as my dad never told any of us where the key was until years later? I was convinced that there was a presence in that house that was specifically targeting me, as I was the easiest target. We moved out of that house about a month after that last experience. The second night after we moved out, there was a horrible storm in my town. The next day as we were driving, we saw our old house, and it just so happened that a huge tree had fallen in the backyard and landed on the house. It had destroyed one room in the home, and you guessed it, it was my room. Here's an experience that happened to a friend of mine, his son, and to myself. I am not sure if this was a paranormal encounter, a time slip, or if all three of us just imagined it. Back in the day, there used to be an old mine that overlooked the city on the west side of Las Vegas. Lots of people used to use that spot for hiking and a kickback, and look out towards the city on cool nights. One night, all three of us decided to go explore it and hike the backside of the mountain/mine. It took us a short amount of time to reach the entrance to it, where we would venture into the inside of the mine. As we were walking in, we noticed that there were three young girls between 18 and 20-ish years of age standing in a semicircle around a small campfire they had built. We had to walk right past them about 6 feet away to go deeper into the mine. And as we did, all three of us greeted them and said, "Hello." Neither of the three girls replied. Instead, they just stared at the fire, standing motionless just like they were when we first saw them. We just ignored this and kept walking. As we went deeper in, we reached a small bend, and as we turned, almost immediately, we heard two female voices scream loudly for help. It sounded like they said, "Help us. Help us, please." My friend and I looked at each other and immediately ran towards the girls, worried that they were being attacked. His son was close behind us. It took us no more than 30 seconds to reach the area they had been standing in, but when we got there, the teenage girls were not around. There was no sign of a campfire ever being made either, no burning wood, nor embers of any kind, and the girls had simply disappeared. We retraced our steps over and over for at least 20 minutes, even looking out over the side of the mountain several times to see if we could see a car or someone taking the girls hostage. We saw nothing. His son began to worry that maybe they were in trouble. So we decided to head back to our car after calling out several times for the girls but getting no answer. Since there was no phone reception where we were, we decided to call the cops as soon as we got back to our car. As we were leaving, my friend looked back and saw a campfire burning and the three girls standing around it in the same exact spot we were just 5 minutes before, still motionless and expressionless as they were when we first saw them. Like I said before, this area was a very cool hangout spot before the homeless took it over and the city decided to block all entrances to the mine. Before the area became overpopulated with new homes, some groups would use it to make cat sacrifices and teenage kids would use it as a makeout spot and tag the place. We would often find burnt cat carcasses. People would often be reported as missing around the area, and some dead bodies had also been found there. It's a place full of crazy and dark, sad history. I'm not sure what we saw that day, but if anybody has an idea, I'd love to know. So in 17 years of life, I've experienced some weird stuff, so I thought I'd share some. My first real weird experience was when I was 10 or 11. My old house had a glass conservatory, so on occasion, we would have birds that would fly into the glass. This was nothing out of the ordinary. One summer, I had started reading a really good book series, and because of the terrible weather where I lived, I would stay inside and read. The book series had witches and paranormal stuff in it, and at the time, I was almost convinced I had some magical powers, which I obviously don't. One night, a bird hit my window. When I looked outside to see if it was dead, it wasn't, so I didn't think much of it. But for the next 3 days, things would bang against my window. As a side note, my room was in the back of the house, and we lived in a housing estate full of old people, so there were no vandals, really. Every time it would happen, I'd go outside and there would be nothing there. There was only one time when I saw a bird fly away. My next experience was when I was 13 and living with my mom's new boyfriend and his kids. The house we were living was in the backside of nowhere, beside an abandoned farmhouse, surrounded by fields. We lived down a long lane that was only ever traveled down by family and occasionally a tractor. Because we didn't have any channels for our TV, my mom would download stuff like Game of Thrones from torrent sites onto a hard drive. The hard drive was really annoying because if you paused it, it would play by itself after 30 or 40 minutes of being paused. Anyway, I was home alone making food, and when I heard voices talking, I immediately thought it was the TV and the stupid hard drive was playing again, so I went to stop it. But when I went, the show I was watching was still paused. I checked the outside to see if anyone was outside, but no one was there. I've since moved twice and I'm currently living in the same estate as I did when I was a kid, but in a different house. My last weird experience happened 2 nights ago. It was really late and I was in my bed on my phone. I heard this really deep growling man's voice in the corner of my room. It freaked me the heck out. I told my sister about it in the morning, and she said she heard a deep breathing in her room that night as well. I've had other stuff happen to me, like things in my room moving, loud noises, banging doors, and cold spots, but I've always just thought it was the wind. This was how I felt every time, except for this one time I was in bed, and my entire right arm was freezing, even though my room is the warmest in the house. Me and my mom joke about my ghost, and I always tell her about weird stuff that happens, and at first she thought I was just exaggerating, but now I think she believes me. She has said the ghost may have come from the old haunted military fort that's in the village we live in. It would make sense if the ghost came from there, but I don't know. Any opinions? So, first of all, I would like to start this off with, in my family, it is not a rare occurrence for you to have something strange or paranormal happen to you. Almost everyone in my family has had something happen to them. In fact, my godmother can see ghosts, apparently. This may seem far-fetched, but I can assure you it is probably true. She even had a friend when she was a toddler. Her name is Serena. My mother, my godmother's sister, and my grandmother had always thought there was an imaginary friend since she was getting towards the age of making things up. One day, my godmother asked my grandmother and mother. Serena said I had to go into the light with her, but I want to go ask if I can go first. My grandmother responded with, "No, you cannot go anywhere with her, especially not the light." And after that, they never heard of Serena again. But I'm getting off topic, so let's get into my story. When I was about 10, my family did a lot of relocation, and somehow we ended up in Utah. Now, we ended up staying in a trailer park with my tío. They had an extra trailer for some reason, but I never really cared to ask. Now, time to skip to a few months later. My father had somehow convinced me to go see my tío and his family. His trailer was only about a half a block away, so I agreed. When we got there, everything seemed to be fine. I was hanging out with my cousins Angelica, Aaron, and Philip. It had gotten late. I don't remember what time, but it was late enough to point out that it was probably time to go because it was hard for me to stay awake. So after about 30 minutes of trying to get my dad to go back home, we finally did. I walked into my small room when my brother and I slept. I went up to my bunk bed and went up to my little ladder and climbed up, and there he was. I tried to wake him up, but after a few minutes I just gave up and went to sleep. So I got a thin blanket and fell asleep on the bottom bunk. I was asleep for who knows how long when I heard, "Wake up, Peggy, we need to go to school." It was my cousin Aaron trying to wake me up. There was just one problem. My cousin didn't live with us. But me being the sleepy state I was in, I just ignored it. It was always a hard time to get me up out of bed, so they would understand. "Come on, we need to go," my cousin Angelica's voice said. Alas, I ignored it. "Peggy, Peggy, Peggy, come on, I need your help with my reading," my cousin Philip's voice said. Me being the lazy butt I am, I still ignored it. This seemingly went on and on and on. I started feeling hands on me shaking me awake, trying to get me out of bed at night to do something. It went on for who knows how long, but I never actually got out of bed. Not once did I try to even budge. I was way too lazy for that. After that, I didn't think much of it. It wasn't until I was in California talking to my mom about the old trailer we lived in. She said that she had her own experience. Someone had gotten in bed with her, and when she looked to see who it was, no one was there. So I shared mine with her, and she had a shocked look on her face for a few seconds or so, but then she ignored it. Not too long ago, I was talking with my grandmother. We were watching a show called Dead Files, and she brought up how we had paranormal stuff in our family. So I told her about what happened to me in Utah. Somehow my godmother, who was in the room and was listening to us, and grandmother had a dumbfounded look on their face. I asked them if it was a dream or something, and they looked away and mumbled, "Maybe." If it was enough to freak a woman who could see ghosts out, I'm pretty sure it was something more than they said. They still haven't explained what happened to me, and I'm 100% sure it was not a dream. So can someone please explain what it could be? Thank you for sharing my story. This happened when I was about 4 or 5 years old. My mom, my stepdad, and I went up to St. Louis to visit my stepdad's sister. That night, my mom and I were to sleep in the living room. They had two couches facing one another, with a coffee table in the middle. I was on the couch, my mom was on the other. My step-aunt had turned a couple of nightlights on so that I could see around the room just in case I needed to get up and go to the bathroom. Everyone was in their rooms asleep for about an hour now, including my mom. Me, being a little kid, I wasn't even tired yet. I was laying on my back playing with my small stuffed animal I had brought from home, listening to my mom's snores, when all of a sudden, I had an extremely intense feeling that someone was watching me. I had an urge to lift my head in the direction the feeling was coming from. There, standing over me, looking down, was a tall man in some kind of uniform. What got me was that there was this huge black eye socket that seemed to look right in my soul. His eye sockets were empty. I can't even describe the fear I felt at that moment. I yanked the covers over my head and I shook with fear and began to sweat. I did not get a good feeling whatsoever. From whatever this thing was, it was just genuinely the epitome of terrifying. I finally slowly looked out from my covers and he was gone. I jumped up and ran over to my mom, shaking her awake. "Mom, Mom, there's a scary man standing over there." I was crying and shaking uncontrollably, and honestly, I was inconsolable at this point. In her half-awake, half-asleep mind, she mumbled that I was just dreaming. I crawled in beside her as best I could and looked around the room. I didn't see anything, but I still felt like someone was watching me. I pulled the blanket she had over my head and had a very restless night. I'm 24 now, and to this day, I wonder what that thing was. I have kind of drawn up my own conclusion that it was a dark spirit probably attracted to low vibrations. I found out later in life that my step-uncle was an alcoholic and verbally abused his children, so this would make sense why this dark presence was lingering around. Let me know what you think. When I was younger, my father would share stories of how he used to practice witchcraft. He shared these stories both to open my mind to various types of religions and their practices, but more importantly, to warn me about the dangers of some practices if abused or used incorrectly. As a kid, I could only imagine myself being like Sarah from The Craft or the sisters from Practical Magic. Our family lived out in the middle of nowhere, and our home was quite haunted, at least in my opinion. It was a common and everyday occurrence to see ghosts or hear disembodied voices throughout our home. This wasn't the case for all of our family members, but a majority of us saw or experienced things regularly, myself included. In time, I grew curious as if it was all possible to trap spirits into vessels. So I began to practice, using statuettes my dad had bought for me. After a week, I'd come to find the conclusions that such magic were only something you saw in movies and not something you could replicate in reality. Some background information. My bedroom was on the second floor of my grandmother's house. It had a balcony door that was made of glass, so I could look outside, towards the tree-covered creek that was directly next to us, and my bedroom door locked from the inside. Every night I locked the door like it was my religion, as I was afraid of something making its way inside my room. Ghosts were my biggest worry, but there were other things that concerned me as well, such as demons and things of the like. I'd long since given up the idea of trapping spirits within vessels when I noticed one of my statuettes had moved on its own. At first, I thought maybe my sister managed to get in and was playing tricks on me, so before I went to bed that night, I turned it towards the wall, away from me. In the morning when I awoke, I found the statuette was staring at me. I continued experimenting with moving the statue away from me each night and every morning. I'd wake up and it was staring in my direction every single time. I tried this with another statuette as well and had the same results. I was spooked by all of this. I eventually threw them in my dresser, under a bunch of junk, in hopes I wouldn't see them anymore. A few days pass, and things seemed normal again, and I was standing between my bed and a vanity. I was brushing my hair, when it felt like something was pushing onto my knees. It felt like I was going to fall against my bed. I tried fighting against whatever this thing was, and even tried screaming at one point, but it felt like it was no use. I felt something holding my arms and legs down, slowly choking the life out of me. In what felt like had been hours, but may have just been a minute, it finally stopped. I'm not sure how I managed to gather the courage to go back into my bedroom, but I eventually did. Night came, and after my family finished having dinner, I decided I wanted to spend time alone in my room. As I walked upstairs to my door, this feeling came over me that I had to go to the balcony door and look outside. When I looked out, my eyes glanced down to the fence that separated us from the creek, and standing there was this small boy with pitch black eyes staring at me with such intensity. Fear overtook me, but no matter how much I wanted to, I couldn't look away. The boy's mouth opened, and all I could hear was this high-pitched screaming. I ran out of my room and halfway down the stairs before I collapsed and began sobbing uncontrollably. This incident made me stop messing with ghosts from that moment forward. It didn't, however, stop me from trying to find out what that thing was. The only info I could find was maybe it was a black-eyed kid and potentially a demon, but I'm not sure. Hopefully someone listening to this show will be able to comment down below and let me know. And thank you, Swamp, for sharing my experience. It really did scare me. This is more of an unexplained story than scary, but I was commuting back to college after spring break. I go to college out of state, so I have quite a long drive to get back to school. While I was driving through Indianapolis, I realized that I needed gas, that I should probably use the bathroom as there was a long road ahead of me. So I stopped at the last exit before I would be totally out of the city. When I pulled into the gas station, I realized that they did not have a bathroom, so I figured I could stop at the McDonald's down the road. Before I pulled in, I looked around and saw that in addition to not having a bathroom, the parking lot was also full. and there was also a 20-plus car line at the drive-thru. Each car was bumper to bumper. However, I was surprised to see that this McDonald's was so busy as it was somewhat late at night. I didn't think to question it though, as many people were traveling because of spring break. After I pulled in and parked, things started to get weird. I noticed that every car in the lot and drive-thru was left running with no drivers in sight. I began to examine the cars in the lot as I was in such close proximity until I saw a man turn the corner near the drive-thru around 50 feet away. I could not tell what he was wearing, but I did realize that he was beginning to walk towards me. In response, I decided to try to go into the restaurant to use the bathroom and get away from this odd situation. When I did this, it seemed to anger the man as he began yelling something inaudible to me. I got spooked and tried to open the door, but quickly figured out it was locked. I decided that I probably did not want to meet this strange man and beeline for my car. After seeing this, the man simply picked up his pace and elevated his voice to what could only be described as a scream. While I fumbled with my keys for what felt like 10 minutes, I was able to get into my car without the man getting super close to me. As I turned on my car, I realized he made his way within being 10 feet of my truck. When I saw this, I threw it into reverse and flew out of the lot as fast as I could. I looked in the rearview mirror, and all I saw was the man glaring at me through my back window with his hands to his sides. While I have thought about it quite a bit, I have been unable to figure out the significance of the man or the surplus of empty vehicles with their lights on. To this day, thinking about this strange situation makes me sick to my stomach. Thanks for listening to these creepy, allegedly true, unexplained stories. Honestly, these were some really creepy ones. And that last one, wow, what would you do if you came to a gas station with a ton of cars around it, with the lights on and the engines running, but no one was in sight? Very creepy stuff. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the channel, why not join the swamp? Hit subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to do so by submitting it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story. If you haven't noticed yet, we recently got the membership option on the channel. If you want to become a member and get exclusive perks to the Swamp Dweller channel, like exclusive emotes, early access to new videos, etc., etc., be sure to hit that join option to see more. Thanks as always, guys, for supporting the Swamp. We're growing at a good rate as always, and the Swamps continue to expand. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.